It's 88.5 KCSN, Sky Daniels. Delta Spirits come by. They've generously stopped by the studios of KCSN to perform before they hightail it to Bonnaroo. Welcome, guys. I've got Matt and John sitting here with us.
Hey.
You've been working. You've always worked hard.
Yes, sir.
You've been a road band. You're not afraid of work. But I have to believe that the last 8 months, you've been taking it to a new level on the road. Yeah.
Yeah. We've kind of had this slow build up, and I don't know if it's from we've been able to be on tour with a lot of people that are good examples, like Dr. Dog and My Morning Jacket, and just how their careers are, and they're good older brother bands to kind of show you how to do it right, especially when, you know, press is usually a hard thing for a rock and roll band, especially nowadays. And so to have a touring friends that, you know, you get their fans by touring with them, but you also learn their business and how they work things. And, you know, this tour is definitely a step up. We went to Home Depot again and built an 18-foot tall triangle. Well, Kelly did. Thanks, Home Depot. They should give us money for that.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the tour was great. We made enough money in the first half that the second half, when we took a break for a couple weeks to take on the Rockies and the West Coast, we were able to afford a bus on our own dime. And so we don't really take tour support. So to be able to do it where it's just, you know, the money that we've earned, you know, and pay for everything itself, it's great.
Now, you know, I have to ask the question when we're talking about travel, and I hinted at it when you guys first came by the station this morning. I'm sorry, I got to ask, because maybe it's because I'm a Midwest guy that moved to California and said, that's it, I'm never moving east again. But a lot of you decided to move to New York, to Brooklyn.
We did.
All right, now I know I'm sounding like a West Coast guy with thin blood and a wimp, and, you know, I don't like the cold, but tell me about how that all happened and what the motivation was.
Well, if it was any winter to move to New York, it was this one, because it wasn't really a winter. It was more like an extended fall. The only time it snowed was on Halloween, right?
Yeah, right before Halloween, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple times, but super light. I think we all had different things going on. Matt lived in Texas for a little while, but all the rest of us have only lived in Southern California. So I think only ever living in Southern California, you think about what it would be like to live in a city. And we love Los Angeles. We lived in Long Beach for a long time, but it doesn't have the same kind of city,
right,
metropolitan vibe that even in a Chicago or Seattle or, of course, New York has. So, you know, I think there's a draw to a different kind of life, even if it's just for a little while. And, you know, we have different family back there and friends who've moved there, and there's kind of a community of people we already know there.
Musicians community,
yeah, musicians too. And, you know, promoters and, you know, just people that we're close to. So it kind of just made sense at that time. But we still have 1 foot here in Long Beach with Brandon, our drummer. So we didn't totally leave.
Yeah. So at least, you know, if you do get one of those 24-inch, you know, snow days, you can always crash at his place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can always, if you can get out of the airport, you can always crash.
Beach, so.
Yeah. So you kept that alive. It's just, I wondered how much of it might have been the idea of the urban center, but in this case, also the musical community that's so robust now in Brooklyn, if that played into any of it. You just wanted to, you know, focus as much on work as just a change of scenery.
I mean, it's a college of business and friends and songwriting and music. I mean, there's just so many bands out there and really great people that we've known from touring or just from the scene in LA. A lot of people have ended up there, and it's just so fun because you go bowling instead of, you know, how you have these light relationships when you're on tour and you come back and you see people, but when a lot of your friends are on tour all the time too, and when we're all home together, we kind of have the same, you know, headspace.
The pool hall and the bowling alley, the corner bar that everyone can hang out with the right Tupac.
It's a lot easier to meet someone at a bar when you don't have to drive afterwards.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice thing.
That was the charm of Long Beach too, is that it was a community. It's strange how similar Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and Long Beach are in terms of, you have people that have a lot of money, don't have a lot of money. You know, just you can walk to bars, coffee shops, all that stuff's readily available to you.
This song's called California.
Now, you recorded the album in Woodstock.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, a whole other, quote, New York.
Yeah, it's completely different.
It's not the Brooklyn, New York we're talking about. That's the idyllic out in the woods, which Nick Harcourt, who we were talking about earlier, once called home. Nick actually lived there for a while. How was the experience there? And you know, I'd ask a cliche question, like, did recording the album in Woodstock, you know, did it add a vibe?
I think it always adds a vibe.
Yeah, we're very careful about where we decide to make an album, and we do a lot of pre-production. We did it in San Pedro at Core Kids, and Murder City Devil have a rehearsal space up there. So we went up there and argued for about a month on how to make the record and recorded ourselves and kind of did it that way. And then
like 3 months.
Yeah. Oh, And then we went out to Woodstock. So we were really prepared to make the record, and we came in there ready to swing at it. And we had when we pick a studio, it's got to be a place where we can all sleep walking distance from the studio. And in that case, it was this old renovated church, and then it slept 15 in a house down the hill. So we were able to walk in there, and they basically gave us the keys. So we'd start at 4 p.m. and stop at 8 a.m. and we could work like that, and it was really great. We were eating together, living together, and when everybody's around like that, you get about the record, you know,
hyper focus.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hyper focus, and you did in the prep for this, like on the last record, you guys, you know, in interviews and stories I saw, you did get your feet under you in terms of quote producing a record and expanding. What it, you know, admittedly, started out with a kind of a rootsy basis.
Sure, yeah.
But in this record, you guys took it, you know, I guess the experience from the last record really gave you, as you were talking earlier, some of the bands you've worked with have given you little primers. That last record gave you a primer on, okay, this time we're going in and we're going to really figure out how to use the studio. So you did a lot of pre-production and a lot of work even before you hit the studio.
Of course, yeah. I mean, there's On the second record, there were songs like Ransom Man and White Table and Ballad of Vitaly that we really stretched ourselves in production. And that was the most fun stuff to make. And it's been the most fun to perform in front of people, especially White Table. I mean, it's a song that isn't necessarily, it's not a root song, you know. It has verse, chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, or whatever, like any other song does, but it's... But it has a different power about it, and that's what we wanted to explore through this record, and we did.
And you brought in Chris Cody.
Yeah.
And
phenomenal.
It's interesting because this will be something that, you know, when you talk about those friends and peers as musicians, we had not a surf in.
Oh yeah.
And it was like literally when California had first dropped.
Oh sweet.
And so it was the first time they're here. They apparently talked to you guys about the record on.
Yeah,
this
we toured
the
with them.
First time they heard it here in the studio.
Oh, cool.
And it was amazing to me to watch them listening to the production values and things you did in the mixes and stuff. Less so the comprehensive song. I said, oh, listen to that, man. They really, that's double reverb on it. And they were really just analyzing
cool.
the sound. Yep. And they were gathering around the speakers.
Sweet.
As if it were you in the studio.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
cool.
Chad Blake mixed the record, and he's one of our biggest heroes. He mixed the second record as well. And we started working with him because of Tom Waits and Los Lobos. And I mean, he did that awesome Travis record mm-hmm. and Pearl Jam. And you can throw anything at the guy. And that's the kind of person we need. I think Chris would have ended up doing a good job. Now listening to the Beach House record sounds so good, that new Beach House. But we really wanted to work with Chad, and we had never worked with Chris before, so we kind of had him already signed up, and he nailed it. And his like, we don't, like, you can kind of tell him what to do, and then Chad does what Chad does, and we're really big fans of what Chad does, so it was really simple to get mixed.
So you basically had a double whammy. You working with Chris, you had a producer that was helping you find some ideas and sounds in your head, and then with Chad, you knew he's going to get all this and tie it up with a nice neat ribbon.
He likes to put the da-dunk da-dunk in the bass. Like the 808 samples and Tear It Up are so crazy, and the intro to California, it almost sounds synthetic and fake, but it's not. It's just all in phase, and he's working in mics in certain places, so like a certain snare hits like in a different way, and it's just a mic that he turned up.
This song's called Empty House.
Thank you.
difference to the rest. When it doesn't, don't care. I could want a little speck, make a difference to the rest. When it doesn't, never will, just like me.
We want to thank you guys for coming by. You know, this, there's, it's tough for us to not want to think of you as one of our own with the Long Beach connection. You know, it's all part of, it's weird because whenever we talk about quote local, as you guys know, well, okay, that means artists that live in LA. Well, where's that line between local and national superstars? But we kind of want to make it as much of a community and an ongoing community. Yeah. And that's why, be it a brand new young band or a legacy band, we try to foster a sense of, hey, we're all here and we're all doing it together. And we count you amongst our family. And as you saw today, you know, if it's a especially cold winter day, and you need a place, you know, you can drop down at least a futon in that studio in there, which is ridiculously large. Is that it? Okay. You're going to take us up on the futon?
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot. Matt and John from Delta Spirit here today on 88.5 KCSN.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you.
You got it.